covering the bunk with tires. And tires made us tired. Even Kevin came to help. But he got the job of coordinating. He sat there on the GCB loader and just pointed. So I said to him, I want your job. But beyond the hard work, which actually we enjoy to help, it's good to be with Steve and Sheila, our good friends. And before everything, let me just say thank you for the good communion which exists between this church, Kevin, and us. So many times you supported us and our ministry and our church. And with this refugee thing, you really started up something. The way your church came and support just gave an opportunity to us and then even to others to join and help. But I will talk more about that a little bit later. I like a little bit to share from the scriptures. That's what I think it's the most important thing, the scriptures. So 2 Kings chapter 6. And if you don't understand my English, feel free to understand whatever you want. Or you can raise your hand and say, start Romanian, Brother Alex, and I will start to preach in Romanian. So, you know, we are all involved in ministry. Amen. It's not just preaching, singing, you know, what other task we may have here, visible. Your job, your family, your neighborhood, wherever you are in ministry. But ministry is not all the time bringing us the joy we expect. It's interesting. If you look at ministry, it's not bringing us the joy we usually expect. In fact, I will say that most of the time, being in ministry means frustration, means a lot of things which are not going well. Many times, I said to myself, I would like to be just a preacher and not a pastor. Because the preacher comes, says the word of God, goes home and sleeps well. But the pastor goes home and he has to deal with a lot of frustrations. Monday, Tuesday, all kinds of things. So being in ministry, it's not bringing us the joy we expect a lot of times. So this story, it's kind of a story about joy in ministry. You don't see it in the beginning, but I will unfold to you the story. So, it's a time when ministry wasn't easy at all, but there is a little bit of hope when this son of the prophets, I mean preachers, came to Elisha and said, look, your ministry is growing. Students are enrolling for the seminary you lead. We want you to train more and more. So our place, it's not anymore enough. It's not good. We can develop. We can expand. Let's move in another place to the Jordan Valley where there is a plenty of land, plenty of trees. It's better even because it's not that hot, it's cool, it's nice. So let's move. And it's one of those moments when people do not tell us what to do, but they want to do it. You know, most of the time people come to the pastor and say, do that, do that. We'll be good to be. But now they say, we want to come. We want to do. We have a plan. And they are full of enthusiasm. They're full of joy. They see the picture. And they go to Elisha. And Elisha says at the end of verse 2, go. That's a very short type of answer. And it's kind of do it. And in Hebrew, that shows that he's not very happy. You know, it's like when the husband says to the wife, I want to go watch a movie or soccer or football or hunting or whatever. And she says, go. Or let's do it the other way. The wife says, I want to go shopping. And the husband says, go. You know. Or you say to the kids, go and do your homework. And he said, I do. So it's that short answer which Elisha is not very happy with. You know. One of the guys doesn't want to do it by himself. And they say, no, no, no. Verse 3, won't you please come with your servants? It's nice to see teamwork. We don't want to do it just by ourselves. Come with us. And again, Elisha has a very short answer. I will. And this is just showing that he's not in his best moments. I don't know why, but that's how he's described in this text. So he went with them. And in the middle of verse 3, the scripture says that they went to the Jordan. And now any Bible story invites you to picture in your mind. You have to see it. How was when this group of teenagers traveled, and it wasn't like 2 hours traveling. It was 3-4 days of traveling from wherever they were to Jordan Valley. So you have to picture in your mind the traveling. It was that type of traveling together as a group when you are happy, when you are thinking to what is coming next. It's when you like something and you're traveling there, you talk about that. And the excitement grows with each step. You know, if you go to visit a nice place, you talk about, yes, we arrived there, it will be nice. When we were kids and we were going to play soccer, on the way to the soccer field, we kept talking, yes, we'll do that, and I will score, and you will do that. And, you know, it's just the excitement of the trip. And they talk, you do that, that's the plan, that's the room, that's the living room, that's the shower, there we'll put the internet, the phone will be there. You know, they talked about everything. And we will ask, how do I know? It's because when they arrived, the scripture says, they went to Jordan and began to cut down trees. And the Hebrew text is like, they arrived and they started to work right away. It's not like today. I arrived at my job, coffee. I arrived at my job, lunch break. You know, it's not like delay, long delays. No, they started to work, and that shows their excitement because they wanted to do the job. Years ago, Steve and Tom, another friend of us, came down to Romania, and we built a fellowship hall for a village church. That was such a blessing for them, for us. And the team from New York came, and they traveled about 24 hours altogether from the time when they started till they arrived, middle of the day in Romania. We poured the foundation for them, so when they come, the foundation was there, they just had to build. When they arrived, middle of the day, I thought they will go in their rooms and take a nap. and then visit the village to see. No, these guys were so full of excitement when they came, they jumped out of the vans and right away on the concrete pad, starting to cut 2x4s and all that, so that the walls started to be there. So it's kind of these things happens here. They are there, full of excitement, and they start to work. But, like all the time in ministry, something has to go wrong, you know. So the scripture says that as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water. And again, you have to picture in your mind those people working. And suddenly, the axe head just flies. And you see it. And you wish that will fell somewhere on the land so you can pick it up. But you see it. And you just hear the splash in the water. And of course, the guy, scripture says, he cries, oh, my Lord. It's a yelling there because he suddenly, in a second, realized that all the joy of that team, it's gone. I mean, nobody else had an axe. So the work stops there. The project, it's finished before it really started. Then, you know, all the eyes of the brothers, you know, oh, you did that to us. And then he goes home and the wife will say to him, I told you not to borrow that axe, you know. So in that cry, oh, my Lord, I mean Elisha, my master, man, it was borrowed. That cry shows the cry we all have sometimes in ministry. Because things don't go well. I mean, we took a trip with food to Ukraine, from Oradea to Ukraine, a long trip. And the lady with the business said to us, whenever you go, I will send my drivers with a truck. And we said, good. When the time came, the driver said, we are not going. They all said, we don't have passports. In reality, they were afraid to pass the border in Ukraine. So the lady said, no problem, you drive it. You take the van and drive it. So we had a driver. And near Ukraine border, the truck got broken. I'm not exaggerating. Literally, the engine broke, the pistons went through the engine. I mean, it couldn't be worse than that. And I said, man, it was borrowed. And, you know, frustration kicks in. And it's the same with many other things. You want to do something and somebody just doesn't see the right motives and they start to talk behind the scenes about you. And many times you want to do things and it's just this frustration. And for the guy, it was really bad because there were not axes at that time. It's not like today. Oh, why was he upset? Go to the Home Depot and buy another one or go to the neighbor and just bring two of them. No. It was unique and very expensive, and according with the law, you had to pay 4 times more if you broke something. So just to have an idea, think you come in ministry in Romania to help us build something, and you borrow a tool of $500,000, and your wife says to you, don't do that. And you say, yes, I do. I like to do ministry. And you come to Romania and you just plug it in our electricity and it's 240. So your equipment just blows. How you feel about it? That's the feeling here. And right when the guy cried, Elisha has another saying and he's kind of short. Verse 6, The man of God asked, where did it fall? Now you just have to know that last time when Elisha asked something like this, things didn't end up well. It's just a little bad. The chapter before, when Gehazi, the helper of Elisha, you know, went to take the money and the clothing from Naaman. So Elisha asked in the same way, where have you been? And you know how it ended for him, full of leprosy. So for the reader of the scriptures, when he says, where did it fall? You kind of think, may he's angry. He wasn't happy at all. Yes, go. Yes, I will. So now he's angry. Who knows what will happen with this guy? Leprosy again, like with his servant? So the guy says, oh, it's in the river right there. And the man of God takes a stick. I don't know what he did there, but suddenly the scripture says that the iron flowed. It's right there. I was thinking, me being Elijah, I will do it different. I will just hold the handle and, like in a reverse video type of, you know, just look here. Come. And you see the axe floating back right there. And like a flag, oh, this is our God. Keep working. But no. Elisha does something else, and that's the point of the text. Elisha says to the guy, if you look in the scriptures, lift it out. You go and take it. And the Bible says, then the man reached out his hand and took it. So Elisha gives this man the joy, the opportunity to be part of God's miracle by touching the flow, taking it, putting it back. Elisha could do it differently, the axe right back there in the handle. But he gave the man the opportunity, the joy of seeing, touching, having his hand wept in the water. In contrast, different than Gehazi, when his hand got full of leprosy. And out of this contrast, it's the point of the story. One man got joy, and the other one got shame. So the question is, when do we rejoice in ministry? When we are in ministry for him and not for us. Gehazi went in ministry for him, clothing, money, glory. Give me, Naaman, you got healed. Give me. This man went in ministry for God. We even don't know his name. He took the trip. He borrowed an axe. He took all the risks. He was working hard. And the point is that he did it for ministry, for God, and not for himself. That's why the two stories end up totally different. One with leprosy and shame. The other one with his hand wept, but full of joy. So out of this contrast is the point of the story. When do we enjoy in ministry which God gives us? When we are in ministry for him, not for us. And maybe that all the ministries which God gives us today will be done for him and not for us. Then we can shout of joy. Amen? Amen. Now, some of the things which I will say are only partial, more about what happens in Romania in the Sunday school class, and I invite you to come and eat. I know you have good food here, so come and, you know, take the opportunity. But anyway, my best friend from school, from seminary training, it's Ukrainian. But it's Ukrainian, but it's Romanian also, because where he lives, it used to be a Romanian territory, but the Russians took it from us. That's why they know what to do, just take the land from people, you know. So if you go there in that town called Chernovtsi, it's like in Romania. They speak Romanian, they have Romanian schools, Romanian churches. We are going there almost each year with Rodi to teach in a seminary. Rodi does Christian ethics and counseling, and they do preaching for them. So it's almost Romanian, you know. So he's also the president of the Romanian churches in that area. When the war started, I called him immediately and I said to him, Sorin, come, our house is open for you. Bring your family, bring your parents. Just come. And he said to me, I cannot come. Maybe I will send the family, but I have to stay and do ministry and help. And because that village, I mean that city, it's very close to Romania, the Russians didn't bomb it because Romania is part of NATO. And you know, with how precise they are, it's easy for the Russians, instead of Chernovtsi, to do it in Romania, and then it's a takeoff on NATO. So that was a safe place. And many Ukrainians came to that place, and also they came to Romania. But anyway, one middle of the night, it was like 3 o'clock, I woke up, and I said, Lord, I would like to help with the refugees. We are far away from them. I just don't know what to do. If you have something for us, if you want my family, our church to get involved, you know who we are, what we have, just use us and do whatever you want to do. So this was 3 o'clock in the morning. I prayed, and then I slept, you know, like the disciples. But 8 o'clock, 8:05, I just came back from the school with the kids. I took the kids to school, come back home. The phone rang, and my friend from Ukraine, and I thought he's saying he comes to Romania, and he says, Alex, I've been asked by some people in the Department of Child Protection, that's government of Ukraine, to take 73 kids and put them somewhere safe in Romania. We have just a little bit of time to extract them. That was his word. Would you take them? 73 kids from 2 orphanages. And I talked a little bit with my wife. It's good to talk to the wife before you take 73 kids. And I thought, man, my father was an orphan. He trained us and taught us to love orphans. The other father, the big one, is still a father of the orphans. So, with no resources at all, we said yes. I made a plan that Maybe some small churches which I've been in touch with all the time will help a little and will have a start. So I said, yes. So he said, okay, the kids will be there with you in 10 hours. 10 hours to prepare the rooms for them. We have a camp, you know, a Christian camp. But the kids used it somewhere in September, and we don't clean it till May, just to when we start, you know. So, I mean, 30 rooms. But, you know, my wife came in. People from our church came in immediately, and they cleaning. I was fixing showers, toilets, heating, all that. And finally, they arrived. But that morning, just a little bit later, Steve calls. And he says, I just talked to Kevin, and they will have some financial help. If are you involved in any ministry? And I told him about the orphans, and he said, yeah, their church wants to support. But I don't cry often, but that was a moment when I just couldn't stop. Because everything came together so beautiful. I mean, only God can do this. There is no. Even movies are not. God knows how to do it. And sure enough, the kids came. And it was a lot of work, a lot of frustrations sometimes. But it was so good to see 73 kids saved. And by the way, their town was bombed next day. So that's why I think they knew that something will happen, and that's why they extracted them. So what shall I say then? Thank you for being part, for supporting. I know the church did it, people from church did it. I wish I could know your names and all that to say a personal thank you, but receive it from the bottom of our heart also. In the name of the kids which were there, receive our special thanks. That's the story, or one of the stories. How much time I have? Do I have more, like an hour, more an hour? But I would like, just to see, I would like to show some videos for you, like 10 minutes, no more than 10 minutes. We'll go. There are two things mainly which we do. We helped refugees in Ukraine by sending a lot of food. And then, of course, we had kids in our own camp. So I will do, we'll just do number one there, and that's a short video. These are pictures taken by my friends. Actually, the guy was my student at Chernovtsi. It's not from internet, it's their trip with food. That's the line for the food. Okay, we'll become movie number two, videos number two. Everything is done by my best friends there, and it's connected with church. All the time they have a song and a message and prayers for them, as you will see in this video. That's another town where they sent help. Okay, and now the camp. So will be a short video of the camp. It's number three.
This is where 20 years ago we started a small project, like a halfway house, to save girls and boys from the state orphanages. This developed in years in this. It used to be a house for elderly people with no resources, no income, and we kept together, I mean, we had together girls from orphanage with elderly people, and it was a very nice place, a very good fit. Only that the government changed some of the rules such in a way that we couldn't anymore complain with them, and then we changed this in a Christian camp, a youth camp. So in the last couple of 3-4 years we tried to change this in a place where youth from our church and kids are coming and spend their vacations. It's a place to educate, it's a place to strengthen the faith of our children. But in the month of March, one morning at 3 o'clock, I just woke up and prayed, "Lord, if you want me to do something for the people facing the war, if you want me to do something for them, use me. You know who I am, you know what we have, so use us." That day, 8 o'clock in the morning, friend from Ukraine called and said, can you host 70 kids from two orphanages near Kiev? I said, yes, of course. And this is how everything started. That group left about a week later and they went to Germany. In less than 10 hours, we had another group of 60 people. Their mothers with kids with special needs. Most of them are with autism, Down syndrome. Some of them are epileptic. We have kids with diabetes. And this is the house where they spend their time. We host 60 people right now, and many others are now requesting to come.
And it will be just one more short, the number four. Now, you will see kids in this video. Normally, that will be just kids playing. But just think and keep in your mind that those kids which you will see came from Kharkov, from Zaporozhye, from the bombed cities. This is a group of Christians visiting our refugees, singing and praying with them.
Say a couple of things, and then we're going to have Alex and Rhody and Reza come up for prayer. First of all, what we see firsthand, and this is what we've been talking about and what I've been reporting without all the pictures, and those food trucks with those boxes of food and those bags of food, you're the ones that put that food in those trucks, because I want to tell you, when Alex woke up at 2 a.m., what are you 7 hours ahead of us? So that's 7 p.m. our time. Right, okay. Then 3 a.m., Alex got the phone call to ask if he could take 73 refugees, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but he said their pockets were empty. They had no resources by which to take 73 refugees, but he said, yes, we'll take them and we'll trust the Lord. And it was my dad, every Tuesday and Saturday, my dad has kidney dialysis in Monroe, and I take him in on Tuesday morning. I pick him up about 5:30, and we were on our way to town, and this was the day after the bombing, the Russians had invaded, and Dad said that our niece, who lives in Arizona, went to school with somebody from Ukraine, and they were wondering if they were okay, and they were going to try to get a hold of Alex to see if he could take him. And at that moment, it hit me that we need to reach out to see if we can help. And so I dropped Dad off, and I went to the square in Monroe, and I parked right in front of Chocolate Temptation because that seemed like a good place to wait for them to open up. And I called my brother Steve because Steve has a direct connection with Alex, and he said, I just got off the phone with Alex, and he's got 73 refugees coming, but they have no resources. They don't have any food or anything, not even a crumb. And so I said, we'll help him. We'll do whatever we can, whatever it takes. And I didn't even get permission from the elder board at Martintown. I just said, we'll do it one way or another. And then we found out also God was working. This is my whole point. Alex didn't know, but by faith he said yes. And we didn't know. And God moved in us. And this is the amazing thing, how God had coordinated it all together. And all we had to do was say yes. And I mentioned at our conference we had this week that Bill Kuhlmeier is working on a sermon that says, the title of it is, I Just Wanted to Write a Check. Somebody asked you to help. It's like, I just wanted, the next thing you know, you're fully immersed. Well, all we had to do was write a check. And we put food in their tummies, my wife would say. Can't say stomach, it's tummy, okay? Now, when you saw that guy playing the guitar and those people singing, Alex told us that before they handed out any food, they would come and sing and then present Jesus Christ, the gospel message, so that they had the captive audience, and then they would distribute the food to the people. And you saw how organized it was. They had a list of names. It's not just willy-nilly. It's going to people that need it. So anyway, we'll hear more during Sunday school, but I just wanted to throw that in there because it's just amazing to me how God just worked. All we had to do was say yes, and God had already prepared all of this, and Alex was out on the front lines taking all the risk, and God rewarded that abundantly. So Alex and Rhody and Reza, will you please come up? And Ken, will you come up, and we can pray for them and ask for God's blessing, and then we'll be dismissed. You're going to make it hard on me? Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Alex and Rhody and Reza and the rest of his family. We thank you for their commitment to you, first of all, for their commitment to your work. And I thank you, Lord, that when this request came in, that both Alex and Rhody knew the answer was yes, and that we will open our doors. And Father, I thank you for Rhody, who is so willing to be alongside of her husband and to get into the buildings and to clean and scrub and make beds and all those things that have to be done, Father. And we pray today, we thank you that they can be here sharing. And Lord, I thank you that they have people back in Romania that can carry on the ministry, to give them a couple weeks to come here and to report on everything that's happening. I thank you, Father, that you have prepared the way. And I thank you, Lord, that we could be involved in such a great way and that you can get the glory and the honor and the praise. And Lord, as we think about Romania so far away in a distant land and recovering from years of communist rule and trying to get back on their feet, and Father, how you could take us over here so far away in such an insignificant little place on the map, say, I want to use you for your kingdom. And I want you to be an encouragement to Alex and Rhoda and their churches over there and the people in such desperate need. Father, I thank you for your people here who opened up their arms and their generosity and gave in such wonderful way. Father, so we ask for your blessing on them, on their ministry. We pray, Lord, that as the work goes forward, that as your name is proclaimed, that the hearts of the people that are hearing it will respond in faith and in love. And Lord, I pray that the stronghold that Satan has on that part of the world will be pushed back, and that your peace will rule in the hearts of the people, but not only that, but in the area as well, in the geographical area, Father. May there be a wonderful, great awakening. We pray and we thank you. And I pray that the blessing on Alex and Rhodey will be immeasurable. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and you'll be dismissed, and you can go into the fellowship hall, and we'll pick up in there in a few minutes after you've had breakfast. So as I say, that concludes our service.